Love and faith are verbs. Love involves not only a feeling or a state of being, but action on behalf of another. Faith involves not only believing certain truths, but acting out certain truths, taking action. That's why over the past several weeks, we've been looking at some of the invitations that Jesus makes in the Gospels. Invitations are inherently action-oriented. They always involve action, whether they're the kind we receive in the mail or via text or email, or the kind we hear out loud from someone. We receive the invitation, we explore or discern the invitation, and we respond to the invitation. The invitations that Jesus makes in the Gospels are about summoning us into abundant life with Him. Love of Jesus and faith in Jesus then involve receiving those invitations, exploring, discerning them, and then responding to them with our whole life. We started with Jesus' invitation to come and see, to come and explore and experience Jesus where He is, as He is, with open and curious and seeking hearts. Last week, we continued with His invitation to come and follow, to make a commitment to Him rooted in His love for us, where we become more like Him as we participate in His work. Today, Jesus makes an invitation that sounds like something we would rather not RSVP for. Come and deny yourself, take up your cross daily. In other words, come and die. Let us pray. God, open our hearts and minds to Your word for us this day. We pray that it would take root there, that it would grow us and transform us, that we might live for You and bear fruit for Your kingdom. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 18 through 27. Listen for God's word. Once when Jesus was praying by Himself, the disciples joined Him, and He asked them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" They answered, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others that one of the ancient prophets has come back to life." He asked them, "And what about you? Who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "The Christ sent from God." Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell this to anyone. He said, "The human one must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the legal experts, and be killed and raised on the third day." Jesus said to everyone, "All who want to come after me must say no to themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. All who want to save their lives will lose them, but all who lose their lives because of me will save them. What advantage do people have if they gain the whole world for themselves, yet perish or lose their lives? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the human one will be ashamed of that person when he comes in his glory, and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. I assure you that some standing here won't die before they see God's kingdom." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Life never seems to go as well when we attempt to secure it and grasp it by ourselves. That was what Adam and Eve did. In grasping from the fruit, the tree that God told them not to eat, they tried to secure and grasp wisdom and abundant life for themselves apart from God. And instead of finding more life, they found less. As human beings, we've been living and struggling with that pull to do whatever seems best for me and my own personal happiness ever since. It doesn't take a sociologist to look around and see, particularly in this country, we are highly individualistic and highly consumeristic. Those two together are kind of like the water that we swim in. Everywhere we go, the message is either explicitly or implicitly, do what seems best for you. Do whatever makes you feel good. Your own personal happiness is the most important thing. Have it your way. Don't deny yourself what you want. Take it. There's no question that the impulse to succeed, to acquire, to prosper, doing it all our own way is powerful. But if we're really honest with ourselves, The things we try to secure and all the ways we try to secure them end up over-promising and under-delivering. We can become so obsessed with grasping, preserving, securing our own lives that we miss out on truly living them. It's no wonder then that we hear Jesus' invitation to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily. When we hear that, it comes as an uncomfortable and confusing shock to the system. Say no to myself, take up my cross, lose my life to find my life. Jesus, don't you want me to be happy? Jesus makes this invitation to the disciples in Luke's gospel just after asking them about their understanding of who he is. He's just performed a miracle, a massive miracle, feeding 5,000 people. Who does the crowd say that I am? Jesus asks his disciples. A great prophet, they say. And who do you say that I am? Jesus presses on. Peter speaks up and says, you are the Christ or the Messiah of God. And then Jesus says what he will have to go through as Messiah, including suffering, rejection, death, and then ultimately resurrection. Jesus must understand at this point that he has become an attraction. And so he wants to make sure that his disciples get what following him actually entails. That confessing him to be the Christ is something that has to be lived out through a particular way of life. This is what being the Messiah entails. This is what following Messiah entails. And so Jesus makes this stunning invitation. If anyone wants to keep coming after me, they have to say no to themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. All who want to secure their own lives will end up just losing them. Those who lose their lives because of me will save them. Now, some attention to words is important here. The word in Greek that we translate either deny or say no is almost always used in the New Testament in the context of a relationship, as in Peter denied Jesus later on in the gospel. He renounced his relationship with Jesus. So when Jesus said, deny yourself, I want to be clear here, he's not talking about some kind of self-hatred or denial of self-care. He's talking about renouncing our relationship with ourself as the primary relationship. We say no to being and seeing ourself apart from first seeing and being ourself in relationship with Jesus. He's saying, Jesus leads the way, not me, and let me stay close to him. That's what it's saying. It's about saying no to the self that is self-interested and deceptive and controlling and fearful, trying to secure happiness and purpose and identity apart from God. The other important word image here is the cross. At this point, Jesus has not been crucified yet, obviously, but the cross would have still been understood as a symbol of humiliation and death. Taking up our cross daily is not about something hard in our lives that we just have to deal with because it's our cross to bear. It's not suffering for the sake of suffering either. It's being willing to make the choice every single day to put to death certain things that need to die in order for us to walk in the ways of Jesus. It may be death like dropping nets or leaving a tax booth behind. It may be the death of a grudge or unforgiveness. It may be the death of control. It may be the death of an unhealthy relationship with work or money. Say no to yourself. Take up your cross daily. Come and die. That's the invite. Who wants to sign up? Who wants to keep following me? Jesus sounds so demanding. We'd rather Jesus be like a nice add-on to our lives as they currently are. We want Jesus simply to endorse our life as it is and just help us stay happy. We'd rather say, yes, Jesus, you're the Messiah, but then in practice, prefer Jesus to be a kind of a therapeutic to help us continue living the same way, but maybe help manage stuff better and feel good. Let me carry on, Jesus, doing my thing, and then I'll call on you when I need some therapy. Theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer called this cheap grace. Cheap grace means the justification of sin without the justification of the sinner. Grace alone does everything, they say, and so everything can remain as it was before. We in the world go on the same way. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ living and incarnate. Jesus can't just be an add-on to our existing lives. That doesn't work. I cannot pick up something new if I'm still grasping on to something in my hand. I have to say no to what's in my hand, lay it down if I want to pick up something else. We have to be willing to make that sacrificial swap. In Southeast Asia, many years ago, someone developed a rather clever way to catch monkeys, alive and unharmed. And the monkey trap that they developed was really very simple. The hunter would take a pot with a wide bottom and a narrow opening, and they would bury the pot in the ground so that the top was sticking up from the ground just a little bit, just above the ground. And in the jar, the hunter would place nuts or a piece of fruit, and hunger would attract the monkey to reach inside. The monkey reaches down into the narrow opening of the jar to grab hold of the treat, and as the monkey attempts to extract the treat from the jar, he finds that his fist full of food will not fit through the narrow opening. The monkey, excited and frustrated, may scream and cry out as he continues to hold on to his food, but he will refuse to let go. When Jesus invites us to say no to ourselves, to take up our crosses daily, he's inviting us to think about what is in the jar of our lives that we think is giving us life, but really it's trapping us, that thing we simply do not want to let go of. He's inviting us to let go of it so that we can experience and receive the abundant life that Christ offers. Die to our selfish impulses and experience a life of self-giving love. Die to our fear of scarcity and experience a life of joy and abundance. Die to our justification by comparison and live identity in Christ. Die to that blind pursuit of upward mobility and experience a life of serving others. Die to our need to control and experience peace and hope. Deny our need to feel productive and experience rest in God. Deny our impulse to let our kids' schedules be the driving force in our life and have a more fulfilling family dynamic. Say no to always having to be right and experience more whole relationships. But this invitation is indeed costly. But don't we do this with other things in our lives? If I wanted to make a change and pick up a new healthy lifestyle regime, I'm no longer going to be able to do whatever I feel like doing. I'm not going to be able to carry on with my life with no changes and no sacrifices and no modifications. I might have to get up earlier and resist my urge to sleep in if I want to get an exercise. I might have to die to sugary soda or carbs and how badly I want to eat those cookies over there if I want to change. Change always involves some kind of denial, some kind of no. Change always comes with a small death. That's why it's so hard for us. And we still do it with things like diet and exercise or new hobbies. How much more so should we be willing with Jesus? Maybe Jesus assumes that people are actually looking for something to give their life to. Maybe Jesus assumes that people are looking for something so large and so true that of course there's a cost. Jesus wants to radically change us when we follow him. This is about total surrender. This is about taking our white-knuckled, gripped hands off of the steering wheel of our lives and just saying, Jesus, it's all yours. Not my will be done, but yours. There's a story later in Luke's gospel about a rich young ruler who comes to Jesus and he asks Jesus what he must do to experience abundant life. And Jesus tells him to keep all the commandments. He says, I've done that, Jesus. And Jesus then tells him, okay, go sell everything that you own and give the money to the poor and then come follow me. Do you hear the invitation behind that invitation? Jesus is really inviting the man to deny his self-interested posture, to die to his love of possessions, to let his hand go in the jar that's grasping on so tightly to what he thinks is vital to life so that he can experience life with Jesus. In this instance, the man walks away sad, we're told, because he had many possessions. Jesus doesn't want a part of us. Jesus wants all of us. Yes, there is cost for following Jesus, and an even greater cost for not following Jesus. What good would it do to get everything you want and lose you, the real you, miss out on really living the true kingdom good life? That's the question Jesus asks that accompanies this invitation. Jesus' point is that the cost of sacrificial daily yielding and living for him is not as high as the cost of not following him. Dallas Willard says, non-discipleship costs abiding peace, a life penetrated throughout by love, faith that sees everything in light of God, overriding governance for good, hopefulness that stands firm in the most discouraging of circumstances, power to do what is right. In short, non-discipleship costs you exactly the abundance of life that Jesus came to bring. Here's the beautiful paradox about the invitation to come and deny and to come and die. It is in the same breath an invitation to come and discover and to come and live. It is precisely in coming to the end of ourselves that we arrive at the beginning of life with Christ. It is precisely in experiencing the death of our inflated egos, our self-interested controlling selves, that we are born into new life with Christ. It is precisely in denying doing whatever we feel like doing in order to figure out who we are, that we discover who we are in Jesus. The invitation to deny is a summons to find. The invitation to die is a summons to live. True life to be found in service to Jesus Christ and his kingdom agenda. Bishop Will Willimon told the story of a time he sat in on a Teach for America recruitment visit at Duke when he was dean of the chapel. Teach for America, of course, is an organization that recruits the best and the brightest college students to teach at some of the hardest, most impossible school settings. This recruiter looked out over this crowd of Duke students and said, I don't know why I'm here. You probably aren't that interested in what I have to say. This is one of the best universities in the country. You all are high achievers, successful, and that's why you're here, to become even more successful in Madison Avenue or Wall Street or the operating room or law school. And here I am trying to recruit you to the most difficult job you'll ever have in your life. I'm looking for someone to go into a one-room schoolhouse in West Virginia and teach kids 6 to 13 how to read. I'm looking for people to go to a burned-out classroom in the inner city. We had 3 teachers killed last year in their classrooms. I can tell you probably don't want to throw away your lives on something like this. But if, on the off chance that someone here might be interested, well, I've got brochures down here at the front, and I'll be glad to speak to anyone. Thank you. And with that, all the students jumped up and rushed to the front. Jesus makes an invitation to us. An invitation for our lives to be bent into the shape of Jesus' own life of death and resurrection. If you want to keep following me, I invite you to say no to yourself, to take up your cross daily. You're going to have to die to some things. You're going to have to let go of some things. You're going to have to adopt a different posture in the world, one of serving love like me. You're going to have to yield your life to me, all of it, all of you. And in the process, you'll end up finding the best life there is. At that invitation, friends, I pray that we would all jump up, rush to the front, and say with every part of who we are, sign me up, Jesus.